Good morning. So, Lee Seraphin is my name. I'm with Barry and them on the team, the eldership team in Durbanville AM, has been for the last 3 years, almost three and a half. I'm not good with dates. Sometimes I say, I've known that guy for 7 years, then it used to be 14. So, Arnel's not yet to keep me on track, but my wife will be at kids ministry this morning, and the kids, so it's lovely just to serve in. Wonderful to be here. To see Henry and Miriam again. Actually, when you were standing next to my room, God reminded me that when we came into 412 5 years ago, you and Miriam were one of the first couples, if not the first couple out of AM, that actually built a relationship with us. And we sat in their home and had breakfast on their porch there at the back. And so we were building a relationship from that time, never knowing that what the Lord's going to do with them eventually a few years later, and not knowing that we will come into Josh Chen later. So God works as he pleases. And I'm standing here. I really need the mercy and the grace of God today. I feel quite weak. My body is weak. I usually don't sound this good with this voice. But it's been the last 2 weeks, been hectic, and I'm trying to catch up and just find my feet and my strength. But we're here. We still got a few things waiting for us at home this afternoon as we're leaning to, with our team on that side. But yeah, it's lovely to be, and hopefully this message will land. I'm trusting, I think I spoke to Kunai in the beginning and just said, and as we spoke, I don't think we landed on something specific considering what I'm saying now, but we both realized that, you know, we do what we need to do. We do what we can, we set up, we invite people, we go places, but if the Lord, the Holy Spirit doesn't move, and if the Holy Spirit doesn't convict, and if the Spirit of God's ability does not come upon man, and it does not come upon us, everything is futile. It's nothing. It's like sand in the wind. And I come out of a context where you live principle-based, and you put those things in place. And the wonder and the negative side of it is it works, because God created it. But more and more I learn as you live into that, of course, the ability of the Spirit and the obedience to Father in heaven, there's also a portion of death in it for you. And as we die into it and into him, that those things actually come to their right. And this is why this is now more than ever for me, something where I realized, Lord, I knew we always needed God. I lived in the way that you always needed God. But it's almost like the revelation goes deeper and deeper the more you die. The more you realize you actually can't do anything. Whatever you know, it's great, but it means nothing. Wherever you've been and whatever you've done, it's fantastic, but it means nothing. Unless the Lord. So the title of my message is, I'm actually not going to give it to you now. I actually want to ask you a question. I was looking for a story, and I couldn't find one. I actually asked Annelle to help me. She's much better than me, and she couldn't find one. So I just ended up with a question. So I want to start with a question, and it's very straightforward. We're in Eisefontein. I heard the word darling as well. The place, darling. And so my question is this, and I want to read it as I wrote it. Why is it, or how is it, that you have settled down here in Eisefontein? Why? Or in darling? Why is it? So when I ask the question, immediately there's a reason. There's a reason why you feel God has settled you in Eise, or why God has settled you in darling, or why you have settled in darling or in Asia. And I want you to hold on to that reason. Just hold it in your hand and hold it in your heart. Because as I move on and speak the word, I feel the Lord wants to bring perspective from his side as he wants to build into his body. So I hope the word will exhort you. I hope so. But I do know he wants to build. He wants to come in, and when he builds, he puts certain things in place, or he takes something out and he puts something else there. And the big question is this: why? Hoekom is jy hier? Hoekom voel jy? Hoekom voel julle? Why do you feel God has put you here in this specific context, in this part of South Africa, at this moment in time? Okay. So the scripture I want us to go to, and I want to read this, is in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 18. And I'm going to just start reading, because the important scripture is number 18. But we've got to build up in context. So, for just as a body is one and has many members, and all members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, now I just want to say this, it's interesting, in the early portion of Corinthians 12, the foot speaks to itself. If you go later, the foot and the eye speaks to one another. It's actually something I saw when I started meditating on this. So because I am not a hand, the foot is speaking to himself, I do not belong to the body. And people sometimes do that. We speak to ourselves and we tell ourselves things. So I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less of a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, the key scripture for this morning, for everyone, for all of us, for me, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. The more you read this portion, the more it settles in, the more the perspective of God will rise up in your heart concerning your life and our lives. And I want to say this again, but as it is, it's not a maybe, it's settled, it is laid down. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. And if you, just for interest's sake, if you go study the word in the Greek of arranged, it means God placed. God settles deep into, or God positions, or God purposes every member in the body, not as the member chose, as God chose. So I can literally go through all of us here, from the everybody from Langebaan, everybody from Durbanville, everybody living in Darling, everybody that's here this morning. God, in his sovereignty, very specifically made sure that he placed, settled down, rooted, purposed, and there's another word that flows out of that Greek word. It says appoints the members as he chose. And that is so significant to grasp, because we, in our mindset, in our perspectives, think, and it can be right, but sometimes if we are only one degree off and we continue on, it becomes more. We think we are in certain places for certain reasons, but God's perspective can sometimes be different, and it is the most important. Okay, so, and I feel I just want to labor on this, just one, because I just feel the Lord is, as he's going to speak, he's going to just settle something in you and hopefully open up something. And I don't want to put words in the word in the place of something, because I want him to do it, okay? As I go on, he'll do it. I'm trusting him to do it. So, who was and is arranged or placed? Well, if you can just go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 and 18 again. It says there, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. And that scripture connects directly to verse 18, which says this. So we were baptized, all of us. That word baptizo means you're brought into and introduced to the Father and the Son and the Spirit. It means you're brought into, you're locked into. And we were all locked into that, all of us, not one, not a half of the body, the whole body. Everybody as God chose, he did it. And then verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. So there's not one person who becomes born again through Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that God did not very specifically have in mind where that person, where that family, and where that couple needs to lock into, settle into deep, be purposed into, and be appointed and placed. Not one. It can happen that we follow our own hearts. That can happen. But God is all the while at work, it says in the scripture. He will make sure he gets you where he wants you. We actually spoke now about somebody that I've known for years who were part of Josh Jen, had a few challenges, and then left Josh Jen. But God's purpose was Josh Jen. I want you in this part of my body, in that specific place. I choose that you be there. He left, came to our church. In the days when we weren't part of 412, we became part of 412. Then eventually, as a 412 church, we became a Josh Jen, and he was part of the church, so he was back in Josh Jen. And then eventually he moved out of Durbanville to another location, and today he's part of Josh Jen in that location. Why? Because God saw and knows. He chooses where he wants to add in your family and where he wants to add in you as a couple and your children, and he goes on. That's God. Jesus said it. It's another dynamic or another angle on, I will build my church. I will build my church. Okay. And the reason, I think there's more than one reason why God is wanting to just maybe stir this up amongst you. But I do think he wants to bring perspective for some of us. Others he wants to strengthen concerning this word. But one thing that needs to be heard today is that you are not only here part of this because of your choice. Primary, above all, sovereignty. God chose to welcome you into this part of the family. Okay, so I just want to run on quickly and just, I'm going to skip a few things. So if I take a minute, I just want to be sensitive to what the Spirit says I must speak and whatnot. Otherwise, I'm going to go into a lot of info and then I'm going to miss him on that. Practically, I can just mention this. That this practically means, literally, if you, whether we agree with it or not, it's actually irrelevant. If we read the scripture, and there is a testimony and a witness from God that saints, leaders, people need to be here. What we feel and don't feel, if it's not in line with that, it's actually irrelevant. It's just feelings and opinions, okay? So that means practically God plants, arranges a leader as he chooses. So if it's an apostolic leader, if it's an elder or a lead elder, if it's witness, if there's testimony, the Lord adds and places and roots that person down. Okay? More is God arranges other leaders and team members as God chooses, whether it's full-time, part-time, volunteer, people with gifts. There are people with gifts and grace gifts here. Who arranges? God does. Who do it? All right? And then, of course, amongst us all, God arranges the saints. Each and everyone. So I just want to practically mention it because as we go on, there might come a time when we think, but why is that person in that function? And why is that person there? Or you might witness with it. Always remember, if it's an opinion, if it's a perspective that might be 1 degree off, if it was agreed upon and the Lord brought in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, in the one who always knew who fits where, he did it. Okay, remember the question, why are you in this area, in Hazelfontein and in Darling? Why? Okay, so God does this, he very specifically adds us and arranges us, and there's a lot of reasons, but I want to give you this because it might give you a stirring in your heart, why certain things are sometimes asked or something that you might not see, but God does it very specifically, and as I was writing this down, it was always the first one that popped up, is this. God created and purposed those to be part of his body, knows where each and everyone should be added. If you say, but why does he very meticulously come? Why there, Lord? And why there? It's because God who created you, when he created us, he immediately invested something in us, grace, capacity, and gifts, abilities, likes, and even dislikes. He uses, he orchestrates it. And the more it comes under his lordship, it comes to its right. But he created you, and he knows exactly where you fit. We will trust God many times to send the right spouse to us, won't we? But will we trust him to plant us in the right church? Isn't it the same? If he knows us and he knows we can spend a life with that person and that person with us because of many reasons which is of him, won't he also just know exactly where we fit in the portion of his body? So if you say, but why, Lord, why? Because he knows us, okay? And most of that knowing will also be exactly like a marriage. When I met Anel, she was a measure of what I thought. As I got to know her, she became a complete measure of it. But she also brought out a portion out of me which wasn't the most beautiful side. And so God does that. He brings you into marriage. He brings you into community. And he puts you here because he knows how you function. He puts you amongst people to bring the beautiful out and also the haha. And when we see that, we say, it's not working. Church life is not working. No, it's actually beginning to work now. God's actually beginning to take you somewhere. Our marriage didn't grow when we agreed on everything and because everything was hunky-dory. It grew when we started facing our flaws and our deceptions and our shortcomings and the sin that was actually hidden in our lives. Then we started growing. It happens to church the same. God very specifically adds so that we can add value and participate. Now, this is key. I want to show you out of Scripture. Can you just give me Romans 12, please, verse 4 to 8? Romans 12, 4 to 8. Remember, we're building into perspective, okay? I can read it so long. I'm reading out of the ESV. For as one, you'll hear a lot about the body today. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, which is true. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And then the important portion comes in verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace God has given, the capacity, the ability, let us use them. Okay, I don't even need to go on, but he talks about prophecy, he talks about service, he talks about teaching, he talks about contributing generously, he talks about having mercy. He says this, each and every person, whether you are aware of it or not, whether you agree with it or not, the God who created you, who saw you, who made you, knows where you fit, and he fits you there to add value, to walk in it and to participate. God will not say that if God did not know that's how it should work. God would not say and expect it if God did not already know his grace, his ability, his capacity is sufficient for you. And God would not say that if he didn't know he will reveal to you what it is that you need to walk in. Okay. We have certain perspective of things, but we constantly need to turn to his perspective. If God asks something, he always, there's always something in place to help you to see it, to find it, to walk in it, but it will always be in such a way that you will need him. Okay, so it's to add value. It's to participate. Remember the question, why are you here? Okay, the perspective. And the last just reason I want to just throw in is this, because we need one another. Why would God arrange us very specifically? Why would he choose Henry and Miriam? Why would he send Corneille? Ek nog nog jou vrou se naam gekry nie. Wat se naam? Wendy. Why Corneille and Wendy to Longabon now Why orchestrate everything like that? Because he's sovereign and he knew. He knew what he invested in them. He wants them to go add and participate in line with the capacities on their lives and each and everyone here. But he also knows this. We can't do it on our own. It's cunning. Not meant to be independent. We were meant to be interdependent like a body. And the scripture that I want to read is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20 to 21. And it says, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And verse 21, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Okay? And then it says, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Why would God allow Paul to write those words? You can't say, I have no need. You cannot say, I have no need. Body, don't say, my child, don't say, I have no need. Why? Surely, because we need one another. No matter how strong you are, when I came into 412, I was quite strong in my ways. Quite strong. It doesn't mean, doesn't mean you don't have a say and you cannot say, you cannot ask. But I was strong, I could do it. The more I die, the less I realize it's not for God. I need the people around me. I think this is one of the biggest lessons the Lord has chosen to very specifically add me into this context of churches and of his body, is to teach me, jy kan nie op jou eie nie. Not with, doesn't matter how big or how small or how significant your gift or your portion is, I have not meant you to walk alone. Okay. And those are wonderful reasons why the Lord does this. I mean, we quote this so much in Josh Chen in Psalm 68 verse 6 where it says, and it might read out of the ESV, it says, God settles the solitary in a home, or he brings them into family. Okay. So, why are you in the Azufontein area? Why are you in Jos Gen? Why are you visiting him? Is it just poker incidents? Why in Darling? Why are we in Durbanville? Why am I in Durbanville AM? There are many times, Barry might know a little bit, maybe Linky as well. Many times I would say to Barry, I've had enough now of Durbanville AM. I'm ready to go. Do you think the Lord's moving me on? No. Why not? Why not? Because it's difficult? Because he's not hearing me? Or is it maybe because he knows, the one who made me, that's where I need to be now. And he wants me to add value and play my part, even though sometimes I think, okay, I'm over it now. Okay, there's other things, God. I've got other muscles as well. I don't have only these muscles, Lord, meaning functioning in these functions. And does it maybe mean that he says, you need these guys. They need you, but you need these guys. Yeah, all right. And it's the same for us here. It's the same for you. And I just want to land. I want to land with it. It brings me actually to the question. In the context of Azufontein and Darling, I didn't plan Darling in, but Darling's in today. You have to be, you bought. We might think we came to rest, to tone down, some to retire. I don't know how many people came to retire in Asia, and how many people think they came to retire in Azufontein. Yeah? Or even to sabbatical. Many people come to Asia to sabbatical. But God, who created and purposed us, added us into this region, but more significantly, into this part of the body, with the intent for good works, to add value, to participate, and not to have us do it alone. That's the perspective of God. I almost want to go so far as to say, based on scripture and based on more and more getting to know God and his sovereignty, before you were knitted in your mother's womb, he knew you, and he knew in which portion of the body, at what season in your life, he would choose to settle you into and settle you down. because he wanted you in that time to add value, to participate, to not run it alone, and to know that it's his choosing. That's God. It's not just church. It's not just the church. It's much deeper, much higher, much further. Okay. And if you're still alive, you've not completed it yet. God is the giver of life. He says, I've got it in my hands. I've got it here. If you're still alive and breathing, if I'm still alive and breathing, the Lord is saying, you have not completed. You have not. You're not there. There's things to be done. And we need to figure it out with the Lord, okay? There's no cookie cutter on everybody, but there's general things that we can walk in order to land and be with the Lord and be effective where the Lord wants us to be, especially in his body. All right? So just listen to this as I begin to tone down. That's a good word, Barry. We actually laugh about the word in Dimville, we're landing. And that landing never takes place. It takes a few landings, a few circles. But we're toning down. So what to do? Well, we can devote ourselves to God and to his purposes. That in simplicity, I'm not going to read the scripture now, but in Acts it speaks of, and they devoted themselves. They gave themselves. I think it's a decision and a confession to the Lord, and then just allowing him to grace you with the ability. Meaning, Lord, I hear this. I don't know if I can, because there's things that he asks of me to devote myself to, and I don't know if I can. I don't know if I have it, and some things I don't have it. I don't have it. Me and my Anel, we've had conversations. I tell him, I don't have it. I can't even honor you. I suckle. But then I go to him and I say, Lord, I cannot, but your grace is sufficient. It's God who works within me to willing to work for his good pleasure. So, Lord, please, come do something in me. Even if it's small, just do something in me. So go to him and say, Lord, here I am. I hear this again. It's almost like my perspective, Lord, has been opened. I don't know if I can, but I want to devote more to you and your kingdom purposes and the building of your church. What does it look like? Here I am, Lord. And he'll work. Okay. If he doesn't work, whatever you're going to do, he's going to go up and smoke anyway. Isn't it? Secondly, there's three. Second one, devote ourselves to God-ordained leaders and one another. Okay, there is scriptures. And that's just going to take up our time now. But I can send it through if you need it. But practically, it means this. You say, but how do I lean into what God has in store here? Well, again, devote yourself to the leaders. You say, but how? Go chat to them. Ask them, where can I fill a gap? Or, I've got this grace in my life. I've got this gifting. Can I serve there? But give them the freedom, the liberty to guide you in that. Okay, I do know practically many times people come and then there's something that the leader has in mind because God has put them there with certain lenses on. Always trust the lens of the leader unless it literally openly contradicts the Bible. Then you go chat, but always trust it. And sometimes they present themselves and the leader says, thank you, I appreciate it, just hang in there for a while, and the people take offense. Don't allow that. Just say, okay, whenever you need me, I'm ready to serve. Is there something else I can do? And then you do what I do for the last 3.5 years. You work on the weak muscles. You can do those things you're not good at. You're not naturally gifted in it. And you carry those weights and allow God to build you into balance and into tension. A beautiful scripture, I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell you of it. It's 2 Samuel 23. I think, 2 Samuel 23, where David, just a beautiful example of how David's men rallied around him. So they were at this in this war zone, and he craved water from a well. But it was on the other side of the enemy's camp. And he said to his men, oh, that I can have a drink of water from the well, from the gate. And three of his mighty men rose up that night. And they broke through the ranks of the enemy, not to slaughter them, but to get him a drink of water. They came back, and they gave it to him. And the story goes, he said, I cannot drink it. And he poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. But what stood out was their hearts to serve the leader which God has appointed. Are you willing to break through the enemy's ranks? Not to slaughter them, but to go fetch the desired heart of the leader and fulfill it. Okay? It's a significant story. And lastly, it's just practical to add value and to participate. And everybody knows when you participate, the sense of being alone starts to leave. It's so practical, actually. If you feel alone, stop participating. It's as that they're intertwined with one another. But the last one is this: we can devote, we can give of our God-given resources, meaning our time, which is intertwined with what I've mentioned previously, our talents and our treasures. And practically, it's this: if there's weekends and midweek and extra gatherings, like the prayer meeting on, devote your time there. Just say, Lord, help me, I want to go. Okay. That's part of participating. That's part of the perspective of why we are here. All right. Our giftings and our abilities, it speaks for itself. Those grace portions. And then our treasure, resources, our tithes, our offerings and our blessings. And I don't want to mention this in 1 Chronicles 29. Verse 1 to 9 is a beautiful, beautiful biblical example of how a leader and the people around them came together and devoted their resources to building the temple of God. And if you read the story in Chronicles, it's where David comes and says, I've received the plan, but my son will build the temple. So what I will do is, I'm not going to build it, but I will, as the leader, I will give of my personal resources as giving it unto God to build his house. And in Chronicles, it explains everything he gave. You can literally go through Chronicles. And then further he says, now who of the people, of the leaders amongst us and around me will do the same? And immediately in the scripture, it starts and says, this leader gave that. And that's just a beautiful example of how God builds his house through men and women, through their resources of time, abilities, their talents, and their treasures. Okay, I end off with this. Whatever we have, God has given us. Okay, whatever we have. Yes, we play the role in obeying God. You have. Some of us have obeyed well. Some of us, not so much. But remember the word, I am merciful towards whom I choose to be merciful towards. I'm compassionate. But whoever and whatever we will become and whatever we have, God and God alone gets that glory. All right. And that my hope of my heart is that the Holy Spirit will come, because he's the one that convicts. It's not how loud you shout or how soft you speak. It's that ability of God's Spirit that comes rests upon a man and a woman and a child that suddenly opens their eyes and their ears and their hearts. Because that's the way it worked with me. It wasn't the power. It was the voice that came and said, Lee, this is the way. Walk in it. And I'm trusting it for you. I'm trusting it for Henry and for Miriam and the team around them. Kuna, if you live in Nangabon, that the Lord's conviction will come upon this portion of the body to realize that God and God alone chose you. I think the biggest deception is when we start choosing to be in churches and thinking it made it great. God makes it great, but he chooses us to be in a church. It's the other way around. We're living in a day and age where people choose where they want to go in the body, and it's never the intention of God. He was always the one that had that sovereignty and who needs to have it. Okay? So why are you in Hazelfontein and in Darling and in Durbanville at this moment in time on this continent in this part of the body of Christ? You might have thought It's just to come rest and relax, or maybe tone down. And partially it's true. But sovereignly, sovereign-wise, before you were born, God decided that you will be part of this portion of his body. He chose you before you chose the church. Okay? Can I pray? Can I pray, Henry?